Good morning, everyone. It's time for the Grace Hour, coming to you live from the studios of Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. And this is our online outreach. And we're talking about the reality of the resurrection this week. Pastor John Love is with me. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Pastor Love will have a message on this topic. We're talking about what does this mean? We know last week celebrated those moments at the climax of Jesus's public ministry on earth. Let's be very clear. That's something that we'll have to maybe address in future weeks about the present ministry of Jesus Christ, because he is seated on the throne and he's advocating and interceding for us. And we know that he stands every now and then at certain points in regards to what's going on to life on earth and the believers who follow him. We know he stands from the book of Acts and the story of Stephen in chapter 7. So we know where Jesus is. We have a conviction about that. But this reality of resurrection, when that morning hit and these believers, now the one that they had seen beaten and decimated by Roman whips and other fists and spat upon and rejected, lifted up from the earth for us, now he's drawing all men to himself. And so there's something about talking and hearing the stories of what the resurrection was and is. And we just want to really settle that during the course of the week. What does it mean for us? So we'll have some discussions for that. We hope you had a great weekend, Easter Monday holiday. We celebrated that yesterday. So we know that you missed us. We're sorry about that, but not so sorry. We enjoyed the Sabbath, right? A Sabbath after the Sabbath after the Sabbath. Yes. But we're grateful that you're with us today. And don't hesitate to call us at 1-800-338-7060 or at 410-483-3700. You could share your thoughts about the resurrection and its reality. And if you're on Facebook Live watching us, YouTube Live, of course, you got those little areas that you can punch in a comment or two. And we'd love to see those comments, and we'll make reference to some of them. We don't always get to all of your comments, but we will make reference to those that really are focused on what has been shared during the course of the broadcast here. So here we are, online, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, also ggwo.org, and also at gracehour.org. And that website's really useful for you. If you miss any part of the program, you could go back and find the archived version of it and listen all over again. And thanks for being a part of our day today, this Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. And here's Pastor Love with a message for us.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. And indeed, it is great to be back in the studio with our listeners around the globe on this Tuesday morning. And we are, of course, here. Everyone associated with the Grace Hour is getting used to the fact that we are meeting together every morning at 11 a.m. We hope that the same is taking place with you wherever you're able to tune into the Grace Hour around the globe. But again, welcome to the Tuesday edition of our broadcast. And there's a lot to say about this great theme, because again, if the reality of the resurrection is not something that we can absolutely be fully assured about, then of course our salvation itself is in jeopardy. We heard a wonderful message on Easter Sunday morning here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. Pastor Shallop preached about the reality of the resurrection, and from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, beautifully outlined the historical proof regarding the resurrection of Christ. And then that what that means practically in our lives. And the Apostle Paul brought out some wonderful principles for us. Of course, first, bringing out the fact that Jesus did indeed appear to his disciples, to the apostles, to over 500 at one time. Think about it. It's one thing if Jesus appeared to one or two or even a small group of people. I suppose then you could call into question the validity of their report of the resurrection. Some would say that it would be feigned. Maybe it didn't really happen. You only have a small group of people. And of course, they were his diehard followers. Of course, they want to believe that he was raised again from the dead. But when you appear to as many as 500, over 500 people, well, then you would have to prove that over 500 had been lying. And each of them would have to say, in effect, no, it didn't happen. But friends, we know that it did. And just think about this. Again, the Roman government, the most powerful government on the planet at that time, if they wanted to put a stop to this Christian faith, put a stop to the propagation of the gospel, which declared that Jesus had died, but after 3 days was raised again from the dead, all the Roman government would have had to do was to produce his lifeless body. And that would have put an end to it, friends. It would have been over. There would be no gospel. There would be no church. There would be no grace hour. There would be no hope. But that didn't happen. Again, if they simply produced the lifeless body of Jesus, then the government would have said, here is his body. His disciples, they are lying to you. There is no resurrection. But think about it. They could not produce the body of Jesus. Why? Because indeed, God had raised him from the dead. And we'll begin our study about this amazing theme, the reality of the resurrection, in Romans, the fourth chapter. And there we read the Apostle Paul writing in verse 25, where he states and makes this declarative statement in referring to Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses. And of course, this is something that we understand fully and completely. 2 Corinthians 5:21 teaches clearly that Jesus, who knew no sin, again, remember that, he was without sin, without a single sin, he was delivered for our offenses. He was brought to the cross by God to be the sacrifice for our sins. And it was not enough that he would go to the cross and become sin for us. Something more had to happen. And that was the second part of verse 25 in Romans chapter 4. And raised again for our justification. You know, so often when people contemplate and consider the reality of the resurrection, they simply state the fact that, yes, of course, God raised him from the dead. What a powerful, powerful thing that God did. But it's more than something that was powerful, more than something that was supernatural, more than something that was an expression of what God could do. It was really God's way of saying, the sacrifice of my son, I accept it as payment in full for all those who will believe that he died for their sins. Again, he paid for our sins as believers, but not for ours only, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, but for the sins of the whole world. Yes, it was the unlimited atonement. But again, does he, by dying on that cross, pay for everyone's sins? Yes. Does that mean everyone will be saved? No. It means that the provision has been provided for them by God, but now they must receive it. Think to what the Apostle John wrote in his Gospel, chapter 1, verse 12. It says that he came unto his own in verse 11, referring to the Jews, the Hebrew people, and they received him not. But then verse 12 says, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This salvation, this redemption, this reconciliation, this atoning work of Christ on the cross is only sufficient for those who believe it. And if someone doesn't exercise faith in what Christ accomplished on their behalf on the cross, well, then they're going to have to search for some other form of atonement. And all we could say about that is good luck. For there is no other atonement than the work that Christ has provided. And we know that that atoning work on the cross was accepted by God. You say, how do we know that the work of Christ as payment for our sins was accepted by God? Because he raised him from the dead. That is proof positive that God accepted the sacrifice of his son. And now we stand before God, having exercised faith in Christ, we are justified. We have been declared righteous. We are the righteousness of God in him. That's amazing. And someone said, well, I understand that what Christ did on the cross, that was necessary, but I think it's necessary also that my sacrifices could contribute to my overall salvation. Well, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, the 9th chapter. As we turn there, I'm going to begin reading in verse 24. Well, actually, let's go to verse 13. The apostle writes and says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now think about it. We know something about the blood of bulls and goats. It had no power to cleanse anyone from their sins. You say, wait a minute. What about all of those sacrifices in the Old Testament? Friends, it's important to remember that all of those sacrifices, what made a person acceptable before God as a result of those sacrifices, were not the sacrifices themselves, nor the blood of bulls and goats, but the faith by which they brought those sacrifices. It was their faith that allowed them to leap ahead and be justified through the reality of God's Lamb that would be sacrificed on behalf of their sins. Faith alone has always justified a person in the sight of God, whether it be the Old Testament or the New Testament, or even during the tribulation period. It will always be justification by faith without the works of any human being. So, again, think about it. The blood of bulls and goats, that could not atone for our sins. So we move on in the 9th chapter, and in verse 24 we read, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. He's talking about the temple that was erected here on the planet, on the earth, in Jerusalem, and says that those were merely the figures of the very true presence. But Jesus went into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, the temple was just a shadow of the reality of what really takes place in heaven. And that's where Jesus appeared on our behalf, in the presence of God for us. Verse 25 says, nor yet that he should offer himself often. Now think about that. Did Christ have to offer himself once on the cross, and then offer himself again and again, as Old Testament priests offered their sacrifices on a consistent, regular basis? No. But Christ, as the high priest, entered into the very presence of God once. The apostle went on to say that unlike the Old Testament high priests, who had to enter into the holy place every year with the blood of others, and then he must, you know, often do that, Christ did not have to often suffer, but once in the end of the world, in verse 26, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And then we go into the 10th chapter again, and this is all focusing on the sacrifice of Christ. Verse 10 of chapter 10 says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Notice the word once keeps appearing in these passages. There is no indication whatsoever that Christ needed to sacrifice himself, nor is there any indication throughout the scriptures anywhere where our sacrifices are necessary in order to contribute to this once and for all sacrifice that Christ made. Verse 11 of the 10th chapter. And every priest, what does he do? He stands daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Friends, it is important to remember that as specific as the details were in the construction of the temple, and every item that God outlined so necessary for the priests to fulfill their duty and their obligation as they represented man in the presence of God in the temple. Every item specified by God, whether it be the altar, the veil, and on, we could go and talk about every aspect of what you would find in the temple. But friends, one piece of furniture was clearly missing in that temple. And you say, well, what was missing? I'll tell you what was missing. A chair. A seat. Why? Because it was very clear that the Old Testament priests, when making these sacrifices, would continue to do so. Notice the words, every priest stands daily. Yes, there was a lot of standing that needed to be done. Why? Because you don't sit down unless the work is finished. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did do. After he offered the sacrifice of himself, the scriptures make it very clear, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. From henceforth, in verse 13, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. And verse 14 says it all. For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Notice it, one offering. And friends, you and I had nothing to do with that one offering. We didn't contribute to that one offering. We didn't do a single thing that enhanced that one offering, because there could never be an offering that you or I could ever bring into the presence of God that would make us any more righteous than what Christ accomplished at Calvary, making you and I the very righteousness of God. Verse 19 says, therefore, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Yes, we read in the Gospels that when Christ was crucified, the veil was rent from top to bottom. That veil is what separated men from the very presence of God. Oh yes, the high priest alone could go behind that veil into the very holy of holies and offer the sacrifice of blood. But God was saying, through the sacrifice of my son, access is now made available to anyone who by faith trusts in his work, not theirs. They can come into the presence of God and find acceptance. We now have boldness to enter into the very presence of God. You know, the Apostle Paul brings that out in Romans, the 5th chapter, where he reminds us that we have been justified by faith, and therefore we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in verse 2, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace, where we now stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Why? All because of that once and for all sacrifice. Verse 22 says, and let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Let's stir one another up, provoke one another unto love and to good works, and let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then interestingly enough, in verse 26, listen to what it says. For if we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. What does the apostle mean when he says, if we sin willfully? Friends, the willful sin talked about here in Hebrews 10 and verse 26 is to recognize that Christ and his once and for all sacrifice atone for all of our sins, but then you and I would go on in our lives and continue to offer sacrifices or attempt to make sacrifices in light of what he finished at Calvary. That's the willful sin of Hebrews 10:26. Some have described that sin as you and I sinning after the fact that we've accepted Christ as our Savior. No, friends, when we sin as believers, we recognize that the work of Christ has already paid for those sins. They've already been atoned for. And then simple confession cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. The willful sin is not acknowledging that what Christ accomplished on the cross was finished, was accomplished once, for all, forever. And the reality of the resurrection substantiates that. The reality of the resurrection says, I accept the sacrifice of my Son, and anyone who accepts his sacrifice, I will accept as well. And then the wonderful phrase that the Apostle Paul repeated almost 100 times in his epistles, reminding each one of us that we are now in Christ. Being in Christ means we are saved, we are secure, we have full assurance, we can draw near with a full assurance of faith, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16, we have access into the very presence of God by grace. That grace which says we stand in forever. Friends, let us not minimize the work of the cross. And let us not minimize the reality of the resurrection. This work done by Christ without our aid, without our assistance, without any enablement of our own, is a work that God alone accepts for the salvation of men's souls. Let's trust that work. Let's believe wholeheartedly that that is what makes us righteous in the sight of God. And that one sacrifice, we read about it everywhere in the scriptures, need never be accomplished again. How do we know that for a fact? Because of the one piece of furniture that is in the very presence of God. That seat that Christ now occupies. That same seat where he now lives to make intercession for us in Hebrews 7:25. That seat where he is now waiting until his enemies become his footstool. And that seat that he will one day get up from and come back to the earth, or at least in the heavens, in the clouds, to rapture his church and to take us home to be with him forever. That's why we celebrate the reality of the resurrection. And as the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if the resurrection is not a reality, then our faith is in vain. It's empty. It's meaningless. We've wasted our time. But friends, with over 500 witnesses, with the apostles bearing witness to the fact that indeed he was raised from the dead, with the Roman government unable to find and to prove his lifeless body, giving evidence that he didn't and wasn't raised from the dead. Well, with all of that historical understanding in our background and the reality that Jesus appeared to his disciples after the resurrection and spoke with them and gave them explicit instructions before he ascended, all of it contributes to this one great truth. He is not in that grave. He is risen. The angel spoke to the women and said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." It's a reality that we celebrate at Easter. It's a reality that we celebrate every day of our lives. It's the reality of Christ's raised from the dead. Father, we thank you for these thoughts. We ask you to bless our broadcast today. In Jesus' name, amen.
And you're listening to The Grace Hour, coming to you live from our studio here in Baltimore. A sunny day here at Greater Grace Church, our campus at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. You've heard Pastor Love talk about the atonement, the truth of the atonement, these passages from the letter to the Hebrews, and just the idea, the reality of the resurrection drives home really the validity of the atonement. He did not enter in that heavenly tabernacle, that real eternal place of offering with the blood of bulls and goats. He went in there with his very own blood. His very own blood he carried to that mercy seat once and for all. I think that's the statement that we really focus on. Jesus did it once, and he did it for all. And its purpose is fulfilled, and it speaks forever. And there's a seat. There's a seat in eternity that Christ has taken his position upon, and he's there talking about us, pointing to the blood and saying they're redeemed. The blood of the Lamb has redeemed us. That's the reality of resurrection. And as we heard on Sunday morning from Pastor Schaller speaking from 1 Corinthians 15, if the resurrection is not real, if it's not true, then we are still dead in our sins. It's like it's the finished work of the cross is also continued in the validation that comes from the resurrection. Death could not hold him. And when he was talking to Mary there in the Gospel of John, "Don't cling to me. I have to go up. I have to go up and present the blood." That's a reality too. So, hey, we want to hear what you have to say about this. So we want you to talk to us here now over the next half an hour. 1-800-338-7060. Call us. That's a toll-free number in North America. If you're here in Baltimore or you're around the world somewhere else outside of North America, 410-483-3700 is the number to use. And again, post your comments, please. Facebook Live, YouTube Live, we'll run them here. Christine has said, "Absolutely perfect, beautiful, breathtaking truth. Absolutely perfect, beautiful, breathtaking truth. We will for all eternity be astonished by this truth." And I like that you bring that point, Pastor Love, that we are in Christ and where we are seated now is with him, really. Yeah. That's not a physical seated position right now, but it is a real reality that who we are in Christ is the permanence, and that we are no longer detached from him, right?
Yeah, Ephesians, the second chapter, seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that, I love considering and contemplating the reality of the resurrection, because his resurrection assures us of our resurrection. His empty grave means our empty grave. I mean, there's nothing more comforting, nothing more assuring than that. I mean, he is the firstborn among many brethren. And of course, having conquered death, which is why he came, that's the great enemy. Hebrews, the second chapter, brings that out. Certainly, sins were paid for, of course. The sin nature was judged at the cross, no doubt. Satan was judged there, no question about it. But also, the reality of the fact that, you know, we're gonna live forever. Mm. Dietmar has written to us and said, you know, quoting Jesus, "I'm the resurrection and the life. everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I mean, there it is. And the question is the same question that Jesus posed to Mary and Martha. Do you believe this?
It's true.
Do you believe this?
Yeah, because Martha, let's talk about her. You know, this is a woman, you know, we know a couple of things about her, that she served, and that sometimes she served with distraction, I mean, from what was really going on there. But we know that she, when she came to Jesus, she, you know, as she served Jesus and the disciples who came to her home, probably often it seems like, you know, she listened. And she said this pretty clearly, right? She said this pretty clearly, you know, I know that there will be a resurrection. And Jesus said, you don't understand. What I'm telling you is the resurrection is right before you.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
I am the resurrection.
I love that because she wanted to tell him what she knew. In other words, I've got good theological training. I have good theological understanding. I know at the last day the dead will come back to life. Jesus said, no, I'm not asking you. He didn't ask her what she knew. He asked her what she believed.
Hmm.
And she told him what she knew. But Jesus said, I want you to believe that I am the resurrection and the life.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So true. Yeah, we got a call from Washington out on the West Coast. Chris is here online with us. Chris, you're on the Grace Hour.
Well, thank you so much. Little under the weather, so I may sound like very deep today. but I think, you know, just in reference to what you shared today, I think in the Christian faith for us as believers, there are many, many things that break us. I mean, when we think about the incredible love of God. And when we read John 17, you know, I think many of us, you know, can't keep a dry eye when we think about the grace of God. And we read the epistles and the teachings of Paul, you know, it breaks us. And I think many of us will weep, really, when we think about that. But I think that there is no greater truth that we have in the Word of God than the truth of this incredible resurrection life that we have the joy to participate in. And I think we can all honestly say that the minute we park our meditation on that thought, we are broken. We are so broken because this truth is it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking to the human soul to understand that we have been forgiven, that if we were the only person on the face of the earth, Christ would have gone to that cross. Mm. And it is truly, truly riveting. But what I wanted to do is really give a shout out. Oh, my goodness. My husband and I, as you folks know, we were in your midst during the Easter week. We arrived Wednesday night, and we just had so much joy, and our cup truly, truly overflowed. Every day was just pulsating with excitement and life. And I just want to say for, you know, anybody out there listening, if you, and I understand a lot of churches, you know, have their Easter season and you want to be present for that. But, you know, for any of either Greater Grace people or anybody out there that, you know, doesn't have a commitment for Easter, you get your butt down to Greater Grace, 6025 Moravia Park Drive for that week because it is so energetic. The play was amazing. And Pastor Angelotis, I'm not embellishing you, but I'll tell you what. I grew up in New York, 13 miles north of New York City. I had my share of Broadway plays. This was phenomenal. It was just phenomenal. Every single aspect of it. And it was such a joy to, you know, see souls come to the Lord. It was a joy to go out and with a group of ladies, we went out and we handed out the invitations, and I got to be a sandwich person. I got to wear the sandwich board and just have so much free fun talking to people about the play and telling them to be there or be square. And it was just a blast. It was absolutely wonderful. And, you know, just to be there for the Grace Hour, for the lunch wrap, for the fellowship, for the evenings. It was beautiful, and we came back so, so refreshed from that time. So just thank you for all you do. And it is such, you know, we love to come for convention, and that's a highlight. But I really think that people should put it on their calendar, save up their pennies, you know, make the plan to try and get to Baltimore for the Easter season, because there's just so much high vibration energy, Holy Spirit energy, and souls getting saved, and the play and all that goes into it. It's just like, wow, wow. We were able to do that a couple of years ago, too, and it's definitely a highlight. Thank you so much.
Well said. And you came, you and your husband came all the way across the country to be here. I know we had some folks that were from Canada. Many came from New England, other states. But you guys, you came all the way across the country to be here. Amazing. And you're right. I totally agree with you. It was outstanding. And I had the same thought that went through my mind Friday evening watching the production on our stage. All I could think of was Broadway and, you know, all of the money that people spend to see those Broadway shows. And this was outstanding. And the message behind it was so powerful. It really did touch your heart. And as you said, we saw so many people come to Christ. It was everything you said and more.
Yeah. And honestly, the work that was done in terms of the flyers, the tickets, the photography, it was like top-notch, high-level, high-class, like really good quality, like amazing quality. And I know many people were part of that, but, you know, and even like the Bibles to give out. And then I was with Pirio, and she had all these booklets and Bibles for the children. And, you know, every detail, everything was thought about. Every soul was considered. Every detail was considered. And, you know, and I'm sure like with every year, it just gets better and better, and there's more that goes into it. But it's just, wow, what a phenomenal highlight in our calendar. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, I'm going to go. God bless you guys.
All right, thank you. Thank you for your words. Yep, that's awesome. Easter next year is April 9th, so you can back that up a week. And April 2nd is the previous Sunday. That will be Palm Sunday. And, of course, the Easter play runs during that week. And, you know, I just... Yeah, just thanks for the kind words. You know, God, you know, the Bible is a book of stories, so I'm not really reinventing the wheel whenever we create some characters and some structures there. People have done this before me. Dorothy Sayers famously wrote some radio narratives that were in the 40s and the, I believe, maybe the 30s. I can't remember. She was a British author. So, you know, these things are, we have some, we just try to think that The Robe is a famous, play in the movie in the 50s about, I think it's about the centurion who got a hold of Jesus's garment, those things. So we do some stealing here and then, here and there, if you go back into the late, 70s and the early 80s, and Michael Card and Don Francisco did some like story songs. And I became Pastor Love told famously a couple of times that he became a believer in 73.
That's right.
1973. Yep. I became a believer in 1979. And those were the musicians that were playing those songs back then. Don Francisco, you can find those on YouTube, some of these story songs that he wrote and sang. And He's Alive in particular is one, and some others. And of course, the actors, once they see some of the things that I put together, they enter into the characters. And I was really struck this year by just how everyone in the, had their characters pretty much, dialed in. They were dialed into their characters and stuff like that. So yeah, I really like musicals. My wife and I like musicals. And there's some, there's some good things there. The, you know, the Chosen series is famous, you know, those kind of things. There's a lot of money at that, that go into that, and a lot of production time and everything. And I just want to say, they're inventing some things. They're creating some characters. They're telling some storylines that aren't like, well, it's not really in the Bible. No, it's not. But, John said that if everything was written down that Jesus did, from beginning to end, the books could not contain all of them. So I just believe that God is giving people touchstones for these kind of things, right?
Absolutely. It was outstanding. And I just can't, I keep thinking to myself, there was no fees. There was no cost. This was free. I remember handing some tickets to my neighbor. And our neighborhood, I handed them the tickets, and they were, as Chris said, high quality tickets. They looked like, you were looking for the price on the ticket. Mm-hmm. And he said, how much are they? And I said, oh, it's absolutely free. And to have that kind of performance free, it was just, I guess very consistent with the gospel message.
Yeah.
Free.
Well, it comes around. I just think, I'm not surprised. I mean, we grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and there were, Jesus is a compelling figure. Godspell was a Broadway musical that, focused on all the parables from the Gospel of Mark. Now, Jesus wears a rainbow wig and a Superman shirt in that one. It's sort of like hippie-ish kind of thing, but it does, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and, do you understand who Jesus is? And then, of course, famously, there was a Jesus Christ Superstar, which was really the vision of the guy who wrote Phantom of the Opera and several other. I think even the man who did the words did Lion King, I think Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber, I think, were the two guys who put together this Jesus Christ Superstar. That was not a Broadway play. That was a bunch of rock and rollers who got together in a studio in Britain and decided to do this thing with Judas as a hero. So its message is really like, they were really like, it creates this question and comment of like why Jesus didn't, use more of a public relations forum to get his message out there. So there's like this sort of presentation of doubt in there, but it is like, as you listen to what's talking about, some of the realities there, the lead singer of Deep Purple was Jesus, if you remember Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water, that's the guy who was the voiced Jesus in this. And then, of course, it was translated to the Broadway stage at some point. So there is this kind of, like, is the message of Christ, hidden away? Every now and then, people just want to pop it up and bring it. Like, did you mention this? Someone mentioned this. I think maybe Pastor Colpin mentioned it. Someone mentioned this.
Jesus of Nazareth.
Yeah, Jesus of Nazareth. And then someone else mentioned that there had been like this, the New York Times op-ed, a guy talking about Jesus and like, very scoffer. He's a scoffer. But, why are you scoffing? If you're a real scoffer and you're a real atheist philosopher, Jesus doesn't really mean so much to you.
You wouldn't even talk about it.
Yeah, you wouldn't even talk about it. But apparently there's something about the person of Christ that you can't ignore. Mm-hmm. All right. And we don't want to ignore our callers. So we want to go to Montreal right now, right? Hey, Lise, you are on the air.
Hi, Lise.
Hello.
Hello,
pastors. Oh, yeah. I'm happy I had to come. I came after this lady from Washington State because she said everything. Exactly. I was saying amen, amen, amen to everything she was saying, except that I wasn't there. But, here in Quebec City, the anointing came, up to here. And I was crying, laughing, enjoying. And but I just want to start by saying that this message, Pastor, on the finished work, Pastor Love, it was beautiful. I would like to frame it and have it on my wall. All the verses one after the other, and it's so beautiful. And so I have a. I don't. I mean, yes. thank you to, you know, to the whole ministry for, you know, always bringing our eyes to Jesus, always bringing our eyes to the throne. I mean, we, you know, someone who wants to go astray, I mean, they really have to make an effort, because, I mean, if we stay there, we're going to be built up, you know, built up all the time, every day, tons of messages. And specifically, I have, I mean, I was very blessed, Pastor Angelo, this by Friday afternoon. I was very touched. I was crying in my kitchen because of the love for that youth generation, you know? I mean, you did it so beautifully. Everything was so perfect, and you gave some teaching and everything, and they were involved, and they had to discuss, and, you know, everything was so perfect. I thought, wow, you know, like, thank you. I was blessed that you took the time to do that. And, okay, so that's one point. I have another one, maybe my last one. Oh, well, I have a question coming after this one. It was about Pastor Schaller, how I appreciated this 1 Corinthians 15 explanation, and how apologetical, I don't know how you say that, aspect, you know, like... Mm. Okay, you want to think like that? Okay, well, let's go and let's think like that. Okay, yes. So what's going to happen? And I love that. I enjoyed very much my classes with Pastor Philippe when I was in Baltimore recently, and five classes I had. But it's just that I'm still so, you know, so at the bottom of the bottom of the capacity for that. I mean, someone tells me something and I'm like that, you know, I don't know what to answer, but, you know, I mean, how to, it's not that I want to, and Pastor Philippe neither. I mean, we don't want to argue with the people, but we want to draw them. And what am I going to say to draw that person? But I mean, of course, the reasoning, a nice reasoning with no emotions and just make the person think. It's like if I can ask a question about that, this young man met about 3 years ago at the metro station, like we do in Montreal, that, you know, in his 20s, early 20s, I mean, maybe 24 years old. And he was saying to us in this conversation that the life of a fish was as important as the life of a human, you know? And it's like, this is, for me, it's so far from what I think, you know. I don't know how to not ridicule, but just help him, like, love the kid, but sometimes a good word, you know. So would you have because this is going to come more and more, because people, they kiss trees and they, you know, the earth, our mother, the earth and everything. People, we're going to hear it more and more on the streets, you know.
Well, it makes sense to me, Lise, that, you know, that God said that he made man in his own image. It doesn't say that he made the fowl of the air or the fish of the sea or the animal kingdom in his own image. He made man in his own image. And when he died, the scriptures make it very clear in Hebrews, the second chapter, that he tasted death for every man. Not every fish, not every bird, not every animal. But man, so the focal point of God's redemption is to reconcile man. Now, we know that the earth is under a curse because of sin, but we also know that Christ bore that curse on the cross. We read of that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ became a curse instead of us, so that, again, mankind could be redeemed from that curse. But the animal kingdom... that's under a curse, but Christ, as we know, someday will redeem even that curse. All of creation groans, waiting for the final adoption of the children of God. And when we are fully restored into God's presence, well, we'll see the kingdom age in a dramatically different age when Christ reigns here upon the earth. But no, for someone to say that the fish is has the same value as a human being, it's not true. God did not place mm-hmm. that value upon a fish, but he did place great value upon those that were created in his image.
I do think, yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know, what kind of answer do you give to a person who believes like that? Because if you take a fish out of water, his element, and put him on a boardroom, a corporate executive officer, that fish isn't going to be around for very long. He might last a day or two, and he can't make the decisiveness, and he can't communicate the way that we communicate. I think, we're just going to have to figure out like how this is. I mean, it's a very interesting world. It's getting more and more different. And I think that, but it is remarkable that the person and the reality of who Christ is something that every generation has to deal with. And even when you try to silence it and hide it away and stuff it somewhere and try and kill off all of his believers, you just can't do it. It just can't happen. And the reality is that, yes, that fish is precious because he was made according to the design of God. And the fish that was broiled so that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, could prove that he was alive all over again, that was a precious fish. And that's what he lived to do. That's what he lived for. He was caught. He was brought to that upper room. He was broiled by someone and brought to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Peace be with you. Do you have anything to eat?" Jesus took a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. There you go. That's yes, of course. But I know it's hard not to scoff. It's hard not to be sarcastic. But I think like, I look at the Savior and how he dealt with the man, the rich young ruler. Looking at him in the Gospel of Mark, it says, looking at him, he loved him. He said, there are many things in your life, and a lot of those things are getting in the way of you really finding out the real truth about who you are and who you need to be. If you could get rid of all those and come to me. And I don't think we should apologize for that. I have gotten rid of a lot of things and come to Jesus. And you need to get rid of a lot of your intellect and come to Jesus. Well, we got to go to another call, Lise. Thanks for your questions and your edification, as always. God bless Montreal. May you be maskless. May you be maskless soon. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Oh, friends, you're listening to the Grace Hour today. Pastor John Love, I'm Pastor Steve Andrelonis. We're having a good time. We always have a good time talking about these things, right? Oh, we're joyful. Indeed. Why are we joyful? Because we know that we're not going to be stuck in a grave somewhere underneath the ground forever. Amen. Or we're going to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, and we're all coming back new someday. Hey, George from Baltimore, what do you got to say today?
Amen, Pastor Steve. I love it. Pastor Love, beautiful. What I got to say is, you know, the Easter plays, it just was so beautiful, and I loved how, what Chrissy shared and how her and Chris came here, and what a beautiful couple they are. I love it. I get so built up when I see them. You know, they're so precious, and her testimony was beautiful. And what I love about the Easter play, the play is now it's beautiful. But even going to the doors, inviting people to the play, it is such an icebreaker. We have a free Easter play, you know, and it's like people open up and you get to talk to people. You know, we were praying with people this last Saturday for their needs, for everything, inviting them to the play. And it is just such a good soul winning tool. You know, it is just it's magnificent in this sense, too, is that everyone nowadays is geared to the web. Like we always tell people, we're on the internet, we're on here. You know, we try to always share that, hey, we have a beautiful website, we're on. But now for the next couple of weeks, when we go to the doors, I'm going to emphasize with our team that, hey, keep it going now. Say, you know, we recently had this great production. Why don't you get the family and just watch this Easter play? And it'll tell you what we're all about as a ministry and how much we love God and how much God loves us. You know, so I'm just so blessed by how great of a week it was. Like on Saturday, you know, we had Pastor Ron Swingle was on his scooter, riding around through the area here in Middle River, inviting people. And we were out, and then we went to the Dollar Tree, and you know, we just had a really, really big, beautiful day, and it was just such a blessing. And I just want to thank you for it, Pastor Steve. I know you produce it, and you do a great job writing it, and you know, it's just such a blessing to the whole community here and to the church body. And so I just want to thank you, and thank you, Pastor Love, and thank you for such a great show today.
You're
welcome.
Thank you, George. Appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
And George, in light of what you just shared, Patty Enzer has written to us. She says, there was a gentleman I gave tickets to at the Safeway grocery store in my area. He brought his mother, who was 85 years young. She told him that they wouldn't have to go to sight and sound anymore. She said, our play was better.
Yeah.
I mean, that's saying something. I mean, sight and sound is, that's top of the line. That's top-notch performance.
Yeah.
But she said, you don't have to go there anymore. This play was just as good, even better.
Yeah. Hey, Pastor Steve, when you were mentioning like Godspell and all this, another one came to my mind, and I went and saw it, but I just don't remember it that much. Do you remember Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat?
I haven't seen that all the way through, but that was another Andrew Lloyd Webber production, I believe.
Yeah.
That was one.
For some reason
he likes to do Bible themes. You know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, it's like, you know, people keep trying to erase the reality of who Christ is, and it's just impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, it's just impossible. I mean, we know what happened in the Roman world in the days of, you know, Paul the Apostle and everything. And it's like, it's very interesting. Maybe we could talk about this later this week or something like that, because we're almost done today. We got a minute and a half today. But it's just like, it's very interesting that these atheists, they don't debate Paul. Mm. They try to deny the resurrection and everything like that. But here's like one of the most brilliant people who ever lived.
That's right.
And anyway, maybe we'll have a whole week on that. So, but anyway, but thanks, George, for everyone. Thanks. Yes. And just pray, you know, another thing that we could talk about is coming up at the end of June, our next great event, big event, International Convention. Here in Baltimore. Come on out and see us. You can find details about it, ggwo.org. Thanks, George. Thanks, Pastor Love. Thanks, Cody Walker, for manning the board again. And for all of you listening here every day online. And maybe you just happened upon us. Call upon the name of the Lord. Be saved. Go to the Gospel of John and read it. Jesus will talk to you there. You can go to the Gospel of John and let Jesus guide you through it. He's the resurrection and the life. He says you must be born again in order to see his kingdom. And he says, if you come unto him, the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free, for he is the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. None come to the Father but by him. That's the message of the Grace Hour. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, Wednesday's edition of the Grace Hour, coming up in 24 hours.